The radio that Radio Shack didn't want. I want to tell you something I didn't put in the newsletter. When I was researching the Holocrafter story, I already knew about the radios. I grew up with them. What I didn't know, what genuinely surprised me, was the Radio Shack connection. William Halligan worked for Radio Shack before Radio Shack was Radio Shack. He tried to convince his boss to start manufacturing radios. They said no, so he left and started Holocrafters. Think about that for a second. The man who built one of the most respected radio companies in amateur radio history got his start at the company that eventually became Radio Shack. The same company we did a whole issue on. The same company that helped launch a generation of hams and then disappeared. There is a through line in this hobby that keeps surprising me. I should tell you about Harry Kidwell. He was my uncle, my mother's sister's husband. He lived one house away from us in Florida. He worked in a cardboard box factory. He was not a ham operator. I don't think he ever got a license, but he owned a Holocrafter's S107, a 5-band general coverage tube receiver. And before he died, he was young, late 30s or early 40s, cancer. He gave it to me. I was about 12 years old. I didn't know what I had. I stretched a piece of wire out the window and I waited for dark. And then WLS Chicago came in, clear, from Florida, on a piece of wire. I stayed up half the night just turning the dial. Local AM stations around the country would sign off and suddenly the band would open up and the whole continent was sitting in my headphones. Stations I had no business hearing, places I had never been. All of it coming through that piece of wire that Harry Kidwell had left behind. I have never forgotten that feeling. Here is what I think gets lost when we talk about old radio equipment. People get nostalgic about the gear, the tubes, the warm glow, the smell of a radio that has been running for a few hours. I understand that. I really do. But that is not what I remember about the S107. What I remember is the world getting bigger. That is what radio did. It made the world bigger. A 12-year-old kid in Florida could hear Chicago, could hear stations from states he had never visited, could understand, really understand, not just intellectually, that there were other people out there, far away, living their lives. The cell phone killed that, not the technology, the wonder. You can call Tokyo from your kitchen right now, for pennies, without knowing anything about propagation or the ionosphere or what time it is on the other side of the planet. The distance means nothing anymore. I am not saying that is bad. It is genuinely remarkable. But something was lost when the distance stopped meaning something. I want to be honest with you about something. I do not have a single piece of tube gear in my shack anymore. Not one. Even my amplifiers are solid state. I know some of you are shaking your heads right now. Gus would be devastated if he knew. But here is the thing. I still remember what it felt like. And I think that memory, that specific feeling of the world suddenly being bigger, is part of why I started this newsletter. Most people have forgotten those stories. The people who built this hobby, the moments that made it what it is, the radios that sat in living rooms and bedrooms and shacks and opened up the world for people who had never experienced anything like it. Harry Kidwell is not in any history book. He worked in a cardboard box factory and he died young, and he had no idea what he was handing me when he gave me that radio. But I think about him every time I talk about why this hobby matters. He is part of the reason I am still here. If you enjoyed this story, the full written version is in issue 5 of the Wayback Dispatch at hamradiowayback.com. New issues every Friday. I'm Lee, November 2, Lima Echo Echo, 73.